Good evening. Well, welcome to our City Council meeting of July 14th, 2015. We just returned from a closed session, and is there anything to report?
There's no reportable action.
Thank you. We will call our meeting to order, and we're going to begin with a Pledge of Allegiance, but we have some special guests tonight, and we're going to talk a little bit about how special they are a little bit later in the agenda, but we are going to have some help with the Pledge of Allegiance. And instead of Roberta Fonzie leading that, would you like to introduce who is here tonight?
Yes, I'd like to welcome the Atascadero Children's Center, and particularly Janice Feldy, the Atascadero Toddlers Director, and ask that the children come up to the podium, and I'll help you lead the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Excellent job. Thank you. Let's go. One thing I will insert on our agenda is, since we don't have any presentations, if there's no objection, we'll take a little time to talk about the Children's Center and what they've been up to. So we will do that just after we get through agenda and a few items. Let's go ahead with a roll call.
There we go. I'm sorry. Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Councilmember Kelly.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved with the changes the mayor made.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilwoman Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno.
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley.
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Well, this was another great year of first our wine festival and winemaker dinner we had, and lots of things to raise money for our zoo. And another big help raising money for our zoo this year was the Atascadero Children's Center made these donation boxes you see up before you here, did an outstanding job, and then they were used during the wine festival for folks to make donations to. So we really thanked them for that work. We did have an opportunity to thank them in person. Councilman Sturdivant and I went and visited their school, had some pepperoni and cheese pizza, and wanted to thank them personally. It was a great visit. You can realize sometimes children have as much of a misconception about city council as some of you. They were thinking we'd come in a limousine. I said, nope, that won't be the case. And then one of my favorite quotes is one young woman said, "Well, Mayor O'Malley, you look really skinny for somebody your age." I said, you know, that's really about the best compliment I've gotten in a long time. But we really do appreciate all of the youth coming out tonight, and they range in ages, and they're going to be sitting through a little bit. And if during public comment you'd like to describe a little bit about your school, we'd love to have you do that. But again, thank you for your work on helping raise money for our zoo. Well, we don't have any presentations, but the next item is the consent calendar, and that's where things are approved in one big lump that we don't think are anything of too
Mayor,
controversial.
Mayor, I apologize for interrupting. I didn't know if you'd like to take this opportunity to have a picture with the Atascadero Children's Center and their wonderful boxes.
That's an excellent idea. I think we'll do that. Let's have all of the kids join the council up here in front, and we'll do that. Well, thank you. Then back to the consent calendar. Fairly routine items we will vote on all together unless any member of council would like to pull an item or members of the public pull an item for further discussion. So first, city council, anyone in the public, then we'll go ahead and entertain a motion on the consent calendar items.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilman Sturdivant, seconded by Councilman Kelly. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one second as we come up here. Well, my first item was the Atascadero Children's Center and the zoo animal collection boxes. All of the zoo-themed donation boxes you see displayed around the council chambers this evening were handmade by the children of the Atascadero Children's Center, and they were distributed throughout the wine festival on June 27th. They were a huge hit the night of the wine festival. There were a lot of people stopping us and just admiring all the boxes. I did hear people going around just to check out every single box because each one was so unique and so different and obviously made with a lot of care. The boxes did generate over $420 in donations that night and did generate a lot of awareness for our zoo and what we do at the Charles Paddock Zoo, so thank you. We have displayed the boxes at the zoo gift shop. Unfortunately, now we have to send them home to their creators. We've enjoyed them thoroughly in the meantime, and so thank you to the Children's Center. The signage campaign. So we have been working very hard to implement our Improve Atascadero signage campaign, and we are very proud to announce that we have about 85% of our businesses are now in compliance with our sign ordinance from where we started. These are a lot of hard work by a lot of businesses, changing their signs, coming in to work with the city, trying to make things and improve the appearance of Atascadero. We'd like to help promote the businesses whose signage meets the requirements of the ordinance. We have placed a link on the front page of the city's website, which takes you to a list of all of those businesses. We have a rotating logos for those businesses that are in compliance. We'll go ahead and just rotate those through the front page, too. We really want to thank those people that have put an effort into it. Under the Community Development Department tab of our website, there's information posted on the sign ordinance with along with a section of frequently asked questions. And as you know, when the signage campaign was implemented, we significantly reduced the fee for signage permits to just $50 for a sign permit and $100 for administrative use permit for those signs that don't meet our sign ordinance, but instead are creative and professional and we'd like to approve. It's been very good process. We've learned a lot in the process and are thinking of some changes that we will want to make to our sign ordinance to simplify it and to allow certain signs and simplify the process. So we will bring that to you in the next few months. We're now down to the 15% that have not complied. We will be visiting those last few businesses personally to talk to them on why they haven't complied and is there something that we could do to help facilitate that. And then we'll go into the fine portion of our campaign. So that is going on, and thank you again to all those wonderful businesses that have complied. City water conservation efforts. City staff continues to make ongoing efforts to find and implement water conservation measures wherever we can. Our primary water conservation measure throughout the city has been and continues to be cutting back on irrigation in all of our parks. That being said, these parks get a lot of use and we want people to have a green space to go to, but we're cutting them back so that they'll still be green and healthy for that use. We want people to not use their, not necessarily have green lawns at home, but come to our parks to enjoy it, and we still want to maintain those. City park irrigation is controlled by our CalSense moisture gauge, which is an atmospheric weather station that reads moisture content in the air. And the gauge measures daily evapotranspiration and is used to calculate the exact amount of water required for the current weather conditions. We have set our irrigation controllers to water at only 70% of what the ET gauge calls for at any given time. In addition, we're watering no more than 3 days per week, and the actual number of minutes we water on any given day varies due to the current weather situations. As summer progresses, our irrigation reduction measures are becoming more evident. As the golden, not brown, we're going to call it golden, patches gradually become more visible in the sunken gardens and our other city parks. Other water-saving measures already in place include the roofs and gutters at the new zoo. I don't know if you guys have noticed those tanks right there by the restroom and by the gift shop in the zoo. That little bit of trace rain we had about 2 weeks ago filled those tanks. So we have all of the new buildings at the zoo are set up to gather and as much water as possible. Then we use that water to irrigate and water our landscaping out there. The structures at the zoo, the newer structures, are green design with the water gathering capability built in. It allows the cisterns to be filled fairly quickly with only minimal rain. And we also use the water from the flamingo pond and other ponds of water to irrigate also. So basically, those have to be cleaned very often. The flamingos are absolutely beautiful, but they do... Somebody says, you need to clean your flamingo pond more often. Well, we clean it pretty much every other day, but when you have a flock of birds, it makes a mess. But we don't allow any of that water to go to waste. We capture that. So we're going to continue. In August 11th, we expect that we'll be bringing back a further update and some more specifics on the implementation and how we're doing on reducing our water. As you know, we've always been very, very water conscious. We've had our CalSense monitors in place for a long, long time. And we tend to use less water than a lot of our neighboring jurisdictions because of those water measures that we'd already put in place. So it's a little bit tougher for us to make the cuts than those who haven't been as water conscious previously. But we're doing our best. Zoo babies. Our second flamingo chick hatched recently, and not to show favorites, but the second chick may be even cuter than the first. They're both adorable. The teenager is a big gray fluff ball. The new one is a little white fluff ball. And actually, my absolute favorite is the new baby porcupine. They're actually born without quills. The quills develop and harden later. So he's a little teeny red fluff ball up there in the trees and is absolutely adorable. We have our Special Olympics host town event. As you guys have all probably heard and seen, Los Angeles is the home to the 2015 Special Olympics World Game. And we're lucky enough to be a host town for one of the teams that is coming to Los Angeles. In cooperation with several other participating San Luis Obispo County host towns, the City of Atascadero, together with the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce, are honored to welcome 100 Special Olympics World Games athletes and their coaches from the United Arab Emirates to Atascadero. We originally thought we were going to get Bangladesh and Cambodia, but there were some last-minute switches, and we now have United Arab Emirates and are excited to welcome them here to Atascadero. They'll be arriving here next July 21st, that's next Tuesday, and we want to give these guests a great experience with a small-town America down-home type of evening. We'll host these guests at the Tuesday evening in the park with a fantastic dinner prepared by the Elks Lodge. They'll get to experience great music being put on by DJ Jerry Craig as well as the community band. We'll also give them a chance to visit the zoo and get a peek at our new zoo babies. And we want to give a special shout out to the Atascadero Rotary for their generous donation of $2,000 in support of the host town event. We're encouraging everyone to come on out to the Lake Park next Tuesday night to welcome these world-traveling guests, whether you come just for the community band or you want to come sit and have dinner with these athletes. If you are interested in purchasing barbecue tickets, go to the Chamber of Commerce. They'd certainly like some advance notice or as early as possible because we're afraid that we might sell out that night. It's expected to be a very popular event where you'll get to mingle with the athletes, sit and talk to these people from the United Arab Emirates, and have a very wonderful evening of music here in the Atascadero Gardens. The barbecue begins promptly at 5. Our meet and greet with the athletes belongs at 6:30, but the athletes will start having dinner around 6, and they'll be there too. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I would like to add on a couple of the topics you touched on. And Bob, I'm going to ask you to give us a little update about the Charles Paddock Zoo statue in a minute. So just hang, just be ready, get your thoughts together. I did want to, not that you need any time on that topic, but I did want to add a little bit more about water usage in Atascadero. And I think, again, we should be very pleased. We're going to be talking later when we get into branding about our E.G. Lewis story. And again, E.G. Lewis really thought things through in Atascadero. We do have our own sub-basin that is basically full. Again, we do many things to kind of manage that resource. One thing, again, I'm very proud of, that not only do we have the lowest cost wastewater treatment plant in the county, but that water is naturally recycled into the basin, and 25% of the water we use is recycled from our wastewater treatment plant. That is phenomenal to me. And then at our Lake Park Zoo, not only with that green parking lot that works like an underground cistern, again, through grant funding, our staff was able to get that, where, again, all of that parking area, water is absorbed back into some rain gardens and also percolates back, filtered naturally into the groundwater. And those, if you be sure to check out those pictures you saw of the rain barrels at the zoo, because they are phenomenal. Those are used to water some of the planting areas throughout the year. And again, it's water that's captured from the roof. So I think staff has done a very good job, and of course, we are encouraging that. We're going to be talking about solar systems pretty soon on the agenda. I think we're ahead of the curve there, but we've also been leaders in gray water systems in our city. And so I think, again, we are doing what we can do, and we've done pretty darn good. But I did want to, since we've been talking so much about the zoo, we did have an item. We were very pleased to have the unveiling of the Charles Paddock statue. And this was a vision Councilman Kelly had really a few years ago, and was able to made a couple of smart decisions. One, he got Mark Greenaway to design it and got Chuck Ward to help out on fundraising. But give us a little bit of what's going on with that out there.
Well, thank you, Tom. This started about 5 years ago. It was quite a project. It started off basically as a bust, and I went over and Mark Greenaway helped me. We drew up some drawings of it and what have you, and then we were doing pretty good on getting donations for that. Then the recession came, and the project, we just kind of put it to bed because people were just struggling to survive, and I was no way was I going to go out and ask for donations. But the economy has recovered, and Chuck Ward came on board to help me because he's quite a go-getter. And along with Mark, we decided to upgrade the statue to a full statue, which is on display at the zoo right now. It was quite a process. You can go to the Vandenberg MOAA webpage, I believe. There's a PowerPoint presentation on there. M-O-W-W, is it? Okay. And it goes from the day one, from the metal frame, all the way through the process of how the statue was made and poured in bronze. And then on July the 4th, we had the official unveiling of it, and it's just fantastic. I think it will go down as one of the historical moments of Atascadero. Charles Paddock was very instrumental in the Lake Park and where we are today. Back in 1965, I think it was, he found this possum, Cosmos Topper, and put it in a cage, and that's how the zoo started. And a couple years ago, my wife and I were back in Boston, happened to go by Harvard University, and there's a statue of Harvard in the courtyard there. And one of the traditions is the students rub the foot, and it kind of turns to gold. So during the process, I thought it would be quite neat to have the possum as part of the statue, which it is. And it's designed so the children can come up, and hopefully it'll be a tradition where they can rub the nose of the possum, and at some point it will turn gold, and hopefully 30, 40, 50 years from now, people can take their grandkids there and say, you know, we did that too. So I'm very proud of the work that Chuck Ward and Mark did, and I want to thank Rochelle. She made it very easy for us to go through this process, and Dave, I want to thank you. I think you came out on your day off to help us and guide us through the legalities of getting it mounted out there. So there was a lot of support from the community. It was a $60,000 project. We still have the plaques to get built, and we're still looking for some donations. So if anybody out there is, you know, wishing to make donations, I would encourage you to go by and look at the statue. And if you want to participate, we're here to take your donation. I have been by the zoo a couple times, and the people are stopping and looking at that statue, and I can't wait till we really get the plaque in front of it, and it tells the history of Charles Paddock and Cosmos Topper and everything else. So I want to thank the City Council for supporting the project. I want to thank the people in the community for supporting it, and I hope you all would go out to the zoo and take a look at it. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you might want to talk to Atascadero Children's Center, see if they'll make you some boxes, too. Next item is the community forum, and that's an opportunity for any of you to come and tell us anything you'd like about anything that's not on the agenda, but it's under our jurisdiction. So please come forward, and if you have any materials, we will get them to the city clerk, but you have 3 minutes. Welcome.
Hi. My name's Pat Alvino. I've lived in Atascadero for 39 years. But now I find that I'm living in the blast zone. What is the blast zone? It's the area which would be affected by the explosion and fire following the possible derailment of the oil train transporting highly volatile crude oil to the Phillips 66 refinery in Santa Maria. Mile-long trains would rumble through our county 5 times a week, each carrying 2.5 million gallons of crude. How can we stop this? Phillips 66 needs to build a spur from the main line to its facility, and that is where we can and must stop it. The County Board of Supervisors needs to deny the permit necessary for the spur to be built. This is our unique opportunity to stop the oil train in its tracks. For the safety and welfare of our citizens, health, homes, schools, and the environment, as well as the economy, I strongly urge this council to issue a statement of opposition to this proposal and present it to the Board of Supervisors. I implore you to make a statement which will help protect our town and environment, as well as many others along the proposed routes of the oil trains. In addition, it is vital that the people who live, work, and go to school in the blast zone be notified of the danger. None of us should have to live in a blast zone. Thank you for your consideration, and remember, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Hello, I'm Sheila New, and as a resident that lives directly across from the railroad tracks and whose grandchildren live within the blast zone, I'm very concerned about the proposed Phillips 66 project. These toxic, flammable trains will travel down the West Coast through highly populated areas, past our schools and our hospitals. The increase in rail traffic, 5 trains in and 5 trains out, will wreak havoc not only with increased pollution, traffic backups at railroad crossings, but the threat of a derailment within these highly populated areas. And I don't believe most of our cities are equipped to handle a catastrophe of that magnitude. I urge the Atascadero City Council to take a stand and voice your opposition as soon as possible to the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission and the Board of Supervisors regarding this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, City Council and staff. An issue of health and safety faces our region, county, and city. Phillips 66 Oil Corporation is asking permission to add a spur at their oil refinery in Napomo that would allow 5 more oil trains, 80 to 100 cars long, pulled by 3 diesel engines every week through our communities. By schools, hospitals, residential universities such as Cal Poly and UC Davis, and our cities. UC Davis and 22 cities north and south of us have sent letters to the SLO Planning Commission petitioning them not to approve the spur, which would allow these oil trains to pass through their communities. The SLO City Council unanimously voted to send a letter to the SLO Planning Commission asking they vote against the expansion. It is rare a county has power to stop such an expansion over the rails, but because the Phillips refinery is in our county, they must have county approval. The intention of our oil train tracks is to connect our cities, not transport toxic tar sands oil from Alberta, Canada, south through Seattle, Portland, Davis, San Jose, Paso Robles, Templeton, Atascadero, Santa Margarita, and SLO on its way to Napomo Phillips Refinery. The tar sands oil proposed to be processed in Napomo is destined for export, not for Californians. The momentum to stop the expansion of Phillips 66, a health and safety issue, is growing. Center for Biological Diversity, Forest Ethics, Santa Lucia Chapter of the Sierra Club, Surfrider Foundation, Empower Poly Coalition, the California Nurses Association, and the California Teachers Association have joined as sponsors in opposition to the expansion. There was a march this past Saturday in SLO, and our councilperson Roberta Fonzi attended. Based on the information you received, I hope tonight you give input to the council to put this issue on the city council agenda at a later meeting. Is that a consideration? I'll take a response to that tonight. People living in the blast zone need a public notification of the Phillips 66 project. Most don't know about it. And for the council to take a stand against the project. I'm wondering if the letter that the council sent to the federal governing agency is on our website. And these are some facts. From 2008 to 2013, oil train traffic increased 4,500%, going from 9,500 rail cars to 435,000 rail cars transporting oil. With such an increase, it is not surprising that another fact, oil trains spilled more crude in 2013 than in the previous 30 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. Tom Comar from Atascadero. Mayor, council, attendees, staff.
I've been informed. If you could direct your mic a little closer to your mouth.
All right.
That's plenty good. Yeah. We can hear you now.
Sorry. Okay. Anyway, good evening. Give me another 40 seconds here. I heard from staff that the council had sent a letter to federal authorities with their concerns about these oil trains, and I do not believe that that is enough. Minimally, I think the council should agendize the issue to hear from our residents who are at risk, as you've heard, send out an alert about that meeting to everybody in the city, but especially those in the blast zone, half a mile on each side of the railroad tracks. Thirdly, oppose the expansion project, because you're in charge of the health, safety, and welfare of our residents, and I think it's when you do your due diligence on this issue, you'll see that. And I'd like to have you join three other organizations in the county that have opposed this project, one being the San Luis City Council, the other being the Lushimar Teachers Association, and the group that I'm vice president of, the Central Coast Nurse Practitioners and Physician Assistants. We've looked at the issue, we've studied the medical reviews, and the health hazards of these trains really are unacceptable. It's not just the explosion and the derailments, and you know, when they kill 47 people in Canada from one of them, but it's the insidious, including the diesel particulate matter, and the noise from these trains that drive many adverse health impacts. These have been looked at, as I said, and the amount of particulate pollution in the exhaust is going to be tremendous compared to what it has been. And inhalation of these diesel particles leads to a gamut of diseases, including cancer, particularly the lung and breast, asthma, obstructive lung disease, heart attack, and stroke. In children, diesel pollution is linked to higher rates of neurodevelopmental disorders, impaired lung development, and increased development of asthma. Exposure as an infant leads to lifelong disease and disability. So I would recommend that the council deal with the issue, because while we're not making the final decision on it, it really would reflect on our city if we took a great stand against this expansion, which we are not going to benefit from, and it could be a tragedy. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers on any item not on our agenda under our jurisdiction? I wish that was under our jurisdiction, but we can comment. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council. This is an item we have heard from many of you, and we welcome folks coming out on any topic. And, of course, we have heard through emails and public comment before. We have had some discussion at council meetings on this topic a little bit before. I'll ask if Councilwoman Fonzie would like to comment briefly on her experience. However, before we do that, I also want to prepare the chief. As we've given a report before, I would like Chief Stone just to give a brief report of the work he has done with the fire chiefs and other emergency leaders on this topic, and it was on with their input. It helped us in crafting a letter that we sent, and I'll have our city clerk just again review a little bit what action the council has taken, reference that letter. So first Councilwoman Fonzie, then Chief Stone, and then our city clerk.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I didn't know that I was noticed at the meeting. I guess I should have known.
You are always noticed.
I like to gather my own material and make up my own mind, so that is why I went. I am looking for more material, so if you'd like to email me, I'd be happy to see it. At this point, I have not made up my mind, but I appreciate the input. There was a good crowd there. I'd say over 100 people, 200-ish maybe. I don't know. Some good material there, but some questions that I asked were actually not answered when I asked them of those sitting at the table. So at this point in time, I'm not prepared to put it before the council personally, although, you know, it's up to the other members of the council. I believe it's important to stick to things that we have within our jurisdiction, and that's kind of where I'd like to stay. Thank you.
Thank you. Chief Stone, give us a little bit, because it's been raised that there's concern for a potential catastrophe, and this is a health, safety, welfare issue. And again, we always look to our police chief and fire chief to advise us on those areas. So fill us in again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. As I've reported in the past, police and fire are always concerned of the health and welfare of a community. And while this topic is raised focusing on oil and oil transport by rail, we've been training and rehearsing and preparing for disasters amongst the rail way prior to the thought of black tar sands and the oil fields in Montana, North Dakota, and Canada. We've been preparing for anhydrous ammonia leaks along the rail. We've been preparing for chlorine, LPG, the current oil trains that come from San Ardo through the county daily. All of those fit into our training schedule and how we train city staff in preparation. Matter of fact, we trained a few years back on a chlorine spill behind Home Depot, and we had to shut the whole city down. We stood the entire staff up and actually did a training, a tabletop and a full EOC activation on a simulated tank car of chlorine that spilled behind Home Depot. One of the frustrating things, and I hear the audience's concern and I hear the council's concern, is the laws surrounding rail existed prior to states becoming states in the Union, certainly prior to the states probably west of the Mississippi in particular. Most of the regulations governing and regulating these trains and transports of product by rail are governed by the federal government, the Department of Transportation. I am happy to report, though, that the federal government has taken a pretty proactive stance at increasing the tank car packaging and upgrading and updating the kind of antiquated standards that governed or transported rail cars, oil rail cars, because the types of oil that came out of the United States early on came out of Texas. It was a sweet light crude, a lot like what's coming out of the Bakken oil fields. And what's interesting is what's been generated throughout the United States, principally once the sweet oils, the light oils out of Texas and Oklahoma to a lesser extent, were abated or pumped, the oils were a lot heavier. And they've been a heavy crude or a sour crude like what comes out of Santa Maria and the Santa Barbara oil fields, and specifically over in the Bakersfield oil fields. So those fuels are much, or oils are much less volatile. They're not explosive. They are combustible. They will burn, but they won't explode. So we have a rail system that was built on a crude oil that transported this heavy, less flammable, less explosive or not explosive combustible. Certainly it would burn but not explode. And right, frankly, the oil company just said, hey, it's crude oil. And technically it's crude oil, but it's a light sweet crude, which the country hasn't seen for a few hundred or for 100 years, with the exception of what comes out of the Persian Gulf. So the Department of Transportation has created new standards, though, and the opponents of this will argue that those standards are going to take years to implement, and that's true because the federal government has not dictated that the rail company throw away all these rail cars, but as these rail cars are replaced, they're going to be replaced with much, much thicker walled containers, vessels that are transporting the oil, and it's going to kind of be on kin or on par with what compressed natural gas and liquid propane is transported in, where it's almost a ballistic container where it can handle a 70-mile-an accident and not rupture. That's the standards that the feds are going to be requiring. It's going to be years, decades probably, until those standards are in place. I won't kid anyone there. But the feds are starting to respond and wake up and, in my opinion, be responsive to the public concerns. Locally, specifically, the county fire chiefs have been very, very proactive. And as a matter of fact, between myself and the Santa Barbara County Fire Chiefs Association, we put together an OSPRS meeting, which is the hazmat response arm for California Fish and Wildlife. And we held a meeting in Lompoc where we had Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis County fire chiefs come together, and we invited law enforcement as well to review responses, to make sure that we had a face-to-face meeting with those that might respond in the event of an emergency. We are continuing to update our plans, our emergency response plans, and the fire service wants to leave the policymaking to the policymakers, and what we've really focused on is being prepared from a response standpoint, having adequate plans in place, having mutual aid and automatic aid agreements in place with those responders that can assist us. Comment was made that Tascadero Fire and the local county fire departments are too small to respond, and that's true. These kinds of major emergencies, whether it's major flooding or the Twin Towers in New York didn't have the capability to respond to that size of an emergency. None of us can, so we rely on each other. So we've worked to improve our relationships, our communications, to make sure that our plans are similar to our neighbors' plans, so when they come in to help us or if we go to help them, it'll be a seamless transition as these fire resources and law enforcement and public works resources fit in with each other and work to mitigate these hazards. We are focusing on, again, response, training, plans, and preparedness, and fire service is leaving the policy to the policymakers. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief, and we do appreciate you staying on top of this issue and keeping us informed. And if there's anything we can do to support the chiefs, you know, we've said that before, but I know I can speak for all the council. We support your efforts. Any council questions? I'm going to go ahead with having our city clerk just reiterate what action we've taken to date.
The League of California Cities has urged cities to focus on the federal government because they are the ones that have some control over the railroads, minimal as it might be. And so I believe the mayor and a few others of you have sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Transportation recommending what the League suggested that we recommend were stringent increased requirements and guidelines for them, which is ties in with what the chief was talking about, improving the cars and all the safety features. As the chief also said, that locally we all are prepared for all kinds of disasters that could happen, and that's all that we can do at this point here, but that to get the federal government is, again, what we've been urged to do by the League of California Cities.
Thank you. And again, we've spoken a little bit. We happen to be pretty prepared on this topic because it's been something we've been giving some thought to for some time. We wouldn't normally have this much of a response to a question that's raised during public comment. We'd usually have to send it back for more research, but we have stayed up on this topic. If there is any desire by council to take further action at any time, of course, that can be suggested at a council meeting. And if there's anyone so inclined, I'm satisfied with staff's work on this so far. And if there's no other comment from council, I'm prepared to move on with the agenda. So the next item on the agenda after public comment is the public hearings. B1, we have an ordinance implementing Assembly Bill 2188 providing expedited procedures for small residential rooftop solar systems. And I was very proud of years ago. Not a big fan of New Times all the time. However, New Times did do an article comparing the permit costs on solar systems throughout the county. And our city had the lowest cost permits of any city substantially than anyone else. So this is something we've taken serious for some time. And again, I'm pleased that, again, Dave, I know we're going to be hearing from you, but very pleased with our departments that have stayed up on these issues. So with that, I'm going to turn it over for an update on this item and tell us where we are with solar residential rooftop systems.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. The item before you tonight is the Assembly Bill 2188, a state-approved bill that amends Section 714 of the Civil Code and Section 65850 of the Government Code. The bill was approved by Governor Brown and filed with the Secretary of State on September 21st, 2014. The signing of AB 2188 made California the first state in the country to mandate a standardized, streamlined solar permitting practice statewide. Several months prior to the Assembly Bill being approved, staff created the city's first online photovoltaic permit plan check process via Permit Center at Atascadero.org, making the city of Atascadero the first municipality on California's Central Coast to offer online photovoltaic submittals, followed by San Luis Obispo County and the city of San Luis Obispo. Staff supports the harnessing of natural resources in a code-compliant manner and strives to provide the best customer service possible. Since January 2014, staff has provided a maximum two-day plan check response, field inspections within 24 hours after permit issuance, front counter, phone, email assistance to answer photovoltaic questions. Since January of 2014, we have issued well over 300 photovoltaic permits. Approximately 90% of them were submitted and plan checked online. When you total the photovoltaic systems installed in Atascadero, the energy removed from the grid totals 1.5 kilowatts, which is 1.5 million watts of power that we've taken off the grid. That I also, on the staff report, I noticed a typo. It's not 1.7 million megawatts. So I just wanted to point that out. We might be there someday, but not yet.
And it's good to have goals, anyway.
Absolutely. We'll keep raising the numbers. All right, and that's all I have.
Very good. Well, thank you. And again, I want to especially thank you. You had some technical information, and there's much more could be said, but basically, we are implementing an assembly bill, but we've already done what they require for a long time. And
yes.
So we were way ahead of this.
Yes.
So I'm very pleased with you were able to do that with pretty darn minimal staff. So good job, Dave. Before we go into council, I want to go around and have any ex parte communications. And after we go through that round, then we'll go with any questions. So any ex parte, I didn't have any on this either. Any questions from council? Very good. I'll open it up to the public. Does any member of the public have a question or comment on this item? Seeing no one run to the lectern, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for deliberation or action.
I'm happy to make a motion. It's kind of interesting that California caught up with us. I move the council introduce for first reading by title only draft ordinance approving an amendment to Title 8, Chapter 5 of the Atascadero Municipal Code relating to expedited permitting procedures for small rooftop solar systems.
Second. Awesome.
I heard a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Moreno and a A feeble attempt at a second from Councilman Kelly. We'll accept that and go with the roll call, please.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Moreno?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Well, we are all excited for the next item under manager reports, the City of Atascadero branding process review and logo presentation. And we are honored to have our new Deputy City Manager, Terry Banish, make the presentation, or at least introduction of who will be doing the presentation.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley. The item before you tonight is a review of the branding process and a presentation to follow of the logos for Atascadero. To provide a brief background on where we've been, August of 2014, we started working with the Coraggio Group. Through that, we had a 10-year visioning workshop that we were working with, and then went to a strategic planning process with Coraggio, both in February and April, and then arriving to an Atascadero Tourism and Promotion Game Plan in the middle of May. We also had a special meeting mid-June, and in that special meeting, we were defining Atascadero, the characteristics, the people, and the attractions that make Atascadero who we are. So this evening, there'll be a review of the branding process that reflects the work of the Coraggio Group to bring everybody up to speed. And then the logos will then be presented, and we would like your input and ideas on these logos. The next step after tonight, based on your feedback, we'll be adding color to the logos and then have a future council meeting to review the logos with color. So with that, we are pleased to introduce Verdin Marketing. Take it away. We have Ashley and Megan and Mary in the audience to give us a review of the branding process and the logos.
Thank you, Terry. And good evening, everyone. We are, too, so excited for tonight and to present these logo concepts for the brand of Visit Atascadero. So we're going to go ahead and start tonight by just going through a quick introduction, or I'm sorry, agenda. And we'll start by having some introductions from our team, reviewing the branding process, which I know you all are familiar with from the intake session, a recap of that intake session, the research from the logos, the logo concepts themselves, timeline, next steps, and open it up to questions. So we'll start with introductions. My name is Ashley Akers. I'm a partner and vice president of the client services at Verdin. I manage our account team. I am very involved in the Atascadero rebrand project as well as handling the T-Bid contract. And I want to also introduce Megan Condit, our art director, which you all met from our intake session. She manages our design team and then also is the creator of the logos we're going to be looking at tonight. Mary Verdin, our president and chief strategy officer. She works with all clients on a strategic level. So kind of going into the Verdin branding process. Again, this is part of your packet. We always go through a Verdin 360 process when we develop a brand. And we begin this process by exploring. So our first phase is really discovering and defining on where we are today. We move to envision. This is where do we want to go and how do we get there? Execute is phase three, bringing the plan to life. Evaluate is measuring that performance and adjusting as needed. And then enhance, which is really celebrating the success and leveraging the opportunities for growth. So just a little intake session recap. We all had a lot of fun in June. And we started by looking at what has already been created from Coraggio. It was a really great start. We were really excited to be a part of the workshop back in May and pulling that information and seeing how it really coincided with what we've been developing for the T-Bid. So what we pulled from that report for the logos is these opportunities for Atascadero, the natural beauty, the location, attractions, events, the downtown scene, arts, all the outdoor activities, and of course the quality of life you get when you get here. The other key piece is really understanding, and we went a lot through it in the intake session as well, is a brand is not just a logo. It's more than that. So we always have to keep that in mind when we're developing logos, and we keep the goals at mind when we're doing that as well. So that begins with looking at what is the Visit Atascadero brand goal. The goal is to get the visitors to come stay in Atascadero. Come, sleep, spend. The goal for the City of Atascadero brand is to stay, spend, enjoy. Make sure Atascadero provides the authentic, wonderful experience for residents and visitors alike. And this brand has to do both. It has to complement both. So we really wanted to make sure keeping that in mind. Now, I know you all had a lot of fun on the five senses exercise. I think that was always a fun thing to do with people and really get things thinking in different ways. And what you're going to see here is a summary of those results. You had the full list of all the results from that part of the intake session in your packet. But really what the purpose of the five senses exercise is to get a feel for all of those experiences you get when you get here. And how can we incorporate that feeling into the brand? So that's really the purpose. And so some of those, the summary from that exercise is, what does Atascadero taste like? Comfort food, homegrown garden, apple pie, and cookies. Atascadero sounds like nature, zoo animals, children's laughter, and community activities. Atascadero feels like a hometown Americana, sigh of relief, seasons, a pair of your favorite well-worn shoes, and a Labrador puppy. Atascadero smells like grassy fields, an auto repair shop on a hot day, pancakes and lavender. And finally, what does Atascadero look like? Dump. Wildlife, country, history, community, and Norman Rockwell. So now we go into reviewing the creative brief. Now, the creative brief is the one document that we continuously go to for doing kind of our checks and balances of how we're getting to the final development of the logo. So we pull this together, and we review this in the intake at the very end. And the first portion of that creative brief is the positioning statement. What was great was Caraggio had a wonderful positioning statement that worked beautifully in the creative brief. Atascadero is a beautiful and authentic city of outdoor recreation, culinary adventures, and welcoming hospitality. It's a safe place where the arts and history thrive, and the diversity of experience, generosity of spirit, and small-town ambiance are here to be enjoyed by visitors and residents alike. The target audience that we kept in mind as we're creating these logos are the visitors that we want to bring to Atascadero, the city residents, as well as Slo County residents. Subgroups of that target audience are the foodies, the wine enthusiasts, active retirees, the families, key event travelers, and of course those outdoor enthusiasts that love adventure. So why should they believe us? What is it that Atascadero has, and what are those attributes look like? Again, from the Caraggio report, which were really much in line with what we presented at TBIT as well, classic Americana, and I know that that'll be a common theme you hear tonight, garden-to-table artisan, recreation, and key events, as well as the historic tourism and culture you see here. So now I'm going to pass it over to the fun part, the research and the logo concepts, and give it over to Megan.
Hello. It is such a pleasure to present you these today. We've been so excited. Talking about research, we really want to talk about where Atascadero is now. And the first step in our process is our image analysis. I think some of you have seen this, but we'd like to go over it again. This is where you are today. We like to know where we are so we can plan for where we want to be. And where we are today is a place to visit that is centrally located, close to all Central Coast attractions. We want to be a Central Coast destination contender where visitors can experience Americana. And how we're going to do that is by developing a captivating identity that embodies Atascadero's charm. And this is really what, it's a bird's eye view of Atascadero. It's what any prospective visitor may come into contact with when they're researching. For the logo, we like to look at the opportunities. The opportunities here are to change the brand to visually showcase the rich character of the scenery, history, and people of Atascadero. We want to hint at the Americana experience, like Ashley mentioned, that one can expect here. For the color palette, the opportunity is to revise to feature colors that show what a visitor will see in the downtown and surrounding areas of Atascadero, additionally bringing forward those Americana feel with the color palette. When someone goes to your website, we want to make sure to bring in the look and feel developed in this new logo and color palette to help the visitor get a feel for Atascadero, starting with that website, and to set the expectation in the online experience. When we send them to your Facebook page, we want to do the same thing. Showcase that newly created logo and materials to further solidify the brand personality and expectation. Even throughout brochures, we want to carry through that identity to reinforce the brand personality, create a connection between the website identity and the brochure. So the next piece of that analysis is the tourism landscape. And this is really, this just shows similar tourist destinations as far as size, that hometown feel. We're not looking at San Luis Obispo or Santa Barbara or San Francisco. We're looking at Paso Robles, Oro Grande, San Ynez Valley. They're different than you, but they do have some of the same characteristics. So for Paso, something that they do well, Travel Paso provides an overall experience expectation through color and imagery, especially in their website. Visit Oro Grande gives the visitor an experience in simply visiting the website and carries through to Facebook in the form of creative cover photos. The logo visually suggests what their tagline promises, Vintage California. Visit San Ynez Valley shows off their naturally beautiful landscapes, making it feel like the visitor is right there. The experience starts at this first introduction. And this is really important because we want to see where Atascadero fits in. We want to position Atascadero within these groups. The next item I'd like to talk about is our mood board, and we're presenting this to you to kind of prepare you for these logos. We're talking about the image that we're projecting from the creative brief, and as Ashley mentioned, that's really the guiding force behind the logo. And then, of course, mixed in with that is the five senses input that we receive from you. The five main points in that image to project are classic Americana, hometown feel, down to earth, friendly, and rugged. And this is also a good place to start with for this meeting because we need to be on the same page. What is Americana? So we have a nice definition for you here. Americana refers to the artifacts related to the history, geography, folklore, and cultural heritage of the United States. Examples of Americana: paintings, prints and drawings, license plates, vehicles, household objects and tools, flags, plaques and statues, etc. Patriotism and nostalgia play defining roles in the subject. The things involved need not be old, but need to have the appropriate associations. The Atlantics describe the term as slang for the comforting middle-class ephemera at your average antique store, things like needlepoint pillows and engraved silverware sets. So this is important because we've just established kind of what that is. And of course, as you look around, it's not 100% Americana that's coming through, but that's the image that we want to project. And just to prep you for the logos, it's not, you're not going to have a logo of a beautiful old truck filled with character or a giant flag, but all these things go into the feeling of the logo. They're influenced by these things mixed with what makes Atascadero great and special and differentiates Atascadero, which we found out through your five senses. So just going through these, on the top left, we're really bringing through that historical patriotism with the flags and the hand-drawn lettering and that attention to detail that was once very prevalent. And then we move down to classic Americana right under there. We have a photo of a family with a car and a house, and that's really showing that wonderful feeling around Atascadero of that hometown community that somebody can expect when they come here. Below that, we have that antique flag. And then to the right, we have the Molly Pitcher logo, which we know is now Tent City. But we thought this was very important because, you know, you can say you're Americana all you want, but this is a great example of Americana in your town that you can actually see. And, of course, now they've changed it, but it's still beautiful, isn't it? And then above that, we have the United States of Americana, more showing that history and the patriotism. And then above that, that's that warm day garage smell that was mentioned in the five senses with all the old signage and the license plates. Then we move over to the home sweet home needlepoint. That's that comforting down-to-earth feel. And below that, the Tent City photo that shows exactly that community that you've also carried out throughout the years. Below that, we have more classic signage. And like I mentioned, that beautiful old character-filled truck next to the tree to bring out that rugged feel. So I'm so happy to present these logos to you. We typically present logos in black and white instead of color, and that is so that you don't get hung up on a color when really you need to focus on the elements. It can look a little harsh, so just prepare yourself. The color, when that comes in, it really warms up the logo and brings a lot of personality. We're showing it to you in black and white and in white over an image so you can see what that looks like in context. So I'm going to go through all three logos here, and then we will open it up to questions and comments. Our first concept is really inspired by the hardworking craftsmen, artisans that live and work here in Atascadero. We're showing that Americana feel, but it's an influence. It's not, like I said, it's not a giant flag. This is a hand-drawn script that is unique to Atascadero, and that is that highlight of the craftsman feel here. And then we also have Visit California in classic font. It's slab serif. It kind of elevates the entire logo and gives it some heft. Concept two. I think it was Bob that said in the Five Senses that his friend came here and said, I can't believe there are places still like this, this open space, this uninterrupted land. And we were all very struck by that. It is very special. It's special to Atascadero, it's special to this area, and there is a really beautiful feeling about walking outside and seeing the horizon. It's different. So we wanted to capture that in a logo and show the calligraphy strokes of the old Americana, but also bringing in what it's actually like here. If you go on a hike or go out into the country, this is the open land that you will experience. And we're also pairing that with the Americana font and the Visit California as well. Our third concept, we were thinking about Americana and those great parades that I grew up with, and we still have them, and they're unchanging, they're great, they're community-filled, and we just love that idea. This is our celebration logo. It shows a lot of the patriotism we talked about. It looks like a gate, like you're entering Atascadero, and it is a nod to the colony days in the letter type, and also it looks historic. It looks like currency or something like that. It's really nice and substantial. So these are our three options here today, and we would love to hear if you have any questions or comments.
Well, why don't we take a moment of silence? And I think as council members have a thought or would like to share, we might just do that. But I would suggest we hold back for a moment here and let everybody think about that as a council, and then I'd be happy to just go from my left to my right is as good as any. We won't even do that. If as council has an idea, just pop up. Go ahead.
Good job. These are very interesting and very different, each from the other. I like the one at the top, and this is my personal feeling. It has a warmth to it that I find the others feel a little more formal. The middle one is interesting visually, but they look like two eyebrows from this distance. When I'm looking at it, I see this. It looks like highbrow town, and so that was my initial gut feeling that it bugged me somehow. The bottom one is a little hard to read. From a distance, it's better, but up close, the font is a little bit difficult. The top one looks like a license plate to a certain extent on the Visit in California fonts, which I found actually rather compelling because we do have hot El Camino nights and other things. It actually pops. It's easier to read than any of the others, so I'm leaning towards the top one.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. They're all very nice, a lot of work. I'm trying to think, how can you put all three of them together into one? But I think with a little work, I kind of like the one in the center, because I've been thinking about this, and I think, you know, one of the things is the natural beauty that we really have here with the trees and everything. I know when I first came to Atascadero, I came up from San Luis Obispo, and once I came up over the grade at 58 and saw all the trees, I kind of, eureka, this is it. And I think, you know, it's with the color in there, and I don't know if you can incorporate some of the Americana into there somewhere, or maybe the letters could be red, white, and blue or something. But I kind of like the center one there.
Councilman Sturdivant, chomping at the bit.
Well, I have to agree with Councilwoman Fonzie, the number three. Actually, at first, I really liked the difference about it. Seemed like something kind of shake things up a bit, but you know, the lettering is a bit up close. It is kind of it's not pleasing to the eye up close. It's better further away, but yeah, the letter on that definitely would not be what I would choose. The number one, the first one is very classic. I like that classic look, but I'd have to say number two, in thinking about the hills and thinking about the trees and thinking about our open spaces here, that speaks to me as, I agree with Bob, I've spent some time down in Southern California, and then when I come home and you see the trees and the open space, it just really it speaks to me. So I like the center. I like number two.
And if I can just, I should have mentioned, these are all concepts. So if there is something that you really love about one of them, and like, for instance, the font, we can work on that.
Yeah, I think this would be good just for let council go ahead and say what they're thinking, and then no direction at this point I think is good, and we'll give you a chance. But Dr. Moreno, a comment or two before I make a comment or two?
I like the first one. I like the simplicity, and I like the font. I like the oak trees in the second one, but I like the simplicity and the look of the first one. The third one, you did say it's kind of parades and things like that, but we're not a big parade town. I mean, we right. have our Hot El Camino nights, but that isn't really what we have in Atascadero, where we've got our colony parade. But and I know you could change fonts. They almost look like cactus font or something. It just looks very harsh. But to me, that just, I get the parade and the Americana, but I don't get the feel with the Atascadero. But I would say the first one would be my favorite. But I do like that concept of the oak trees and that nature.
Well, my thought was I had something entirely different in mind, so I'm, you know, coming back to like, oh, okay, this is what we're looking at. And I'd have to say, and sometimes I'm just blunt, but I don't like number three. It's just, it looks like too many things stuck together that are disjointed, and the font is too different in whatever makes up why we don't like something. It would be my least favorite. Yeah. My first thought is I like the idea of having trees. Unfortunately, we're not named Paso, Pass of the Oaks, and there are so many things. I think of our historic and the dome and our building and so many things we like that, quite frankly, you can't include them all. So in some ways, I like not including any of them, and then you highlight them. That, you know, the simplicity of number one kind of, you know, struck me as like, well, it's unique. Actually, the font is unique, and it's simple, classic. I could live with that, with the idea that, yeah, it's just some words that will be surrounded with a lot of pictures of what we're talking about, because you can't get a picture of an oak tree that does justice to our oak trees. I think you could do something, but since Paso is already kind of, you know, they've got one feeble oak tree, you know, we could outnumber them with oak trees, but the fact is there are so many things we'd like to emphasize, you know, the zoo, the historic buildings, and so since you can't get them all in, it'd be too busy. I like the idea of classic, simple, number one, and then we surround with real pictures that people can see. So I'd have a strong vote for number one. two I think you could maybe work with, but I think it might not be worth the work. It'd be better to put the time into other things, and I just couldn't live with number three. So that's my input. Anybody want to revisit other comments, and then we'll open. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't like number three either. I shouldn't say I don't like it. It's not at the top of my list.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
When it first came up at Atascadero, I had a little hard time actually dialing in on it to see what it really said. It didn't jump out and flash at me. I kind of like the lettering of the second one, the Atascadero. It's kind of like old-time lettering. Like when you went to Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland, you know, and you got one of those old newspapers or even maybe some of the papers we have in the Historical Society. It kind of has that old letter, and that's kind of the Americana, the old historical stuff that we have in town here. And, you know, I think the center one is maybe the one to work off of somehow. And like you say, we have so many things to put in there. It's going to be a tough one. And we are Tree City, so I think somewhere in there should be at least a tree.
Well, and I'd say, but who isn't a Tree City? Yeah, there's a few, but I look at what I like about number one, being a collector of the early Atascadero history. If you look at a lot of the original ads E.G. Lewis did, it actually has a font that has a flavor of that script and the way he looked at things. So I think that would be something that gives, again, it's unique to us. Sure, two has a classic Americana, but number one is, I think, could be unique to Atascadero, which I like. Is a little more of a script, which E.G. Lewis used at times in some of his ads around the country. We're just freewheeling here. Council, go ahead.
We might as well. What I don't like about the second one, and I understand what you're saying, Bob, it is the font that I find unappealing. I find it hard to read that in email messages when they're all caps, you're shouting. And this disturbs me just because so many people are doing emails nowadays. What I like about the top one in particular is because it looks like a handwritten font, like a handwritten letter. It's more personal. It's like getting the difference between a form letter and one that somebody actually wrote to you in their handwriting. And that really is very appealing to me. That font is the best.
Can I tell you, I tried a bunch of different scripts in there, and I sketched this out. And they just didn't feel right, and so I scanned my sketch in and did it from that. So it's completely unique.
I was going to ask you what the font was, so if I wanted to use it sometime, but no,
it's the Atascadero
not.
Font, yeah.
The Atascadero font. We're done.
I like that even better.
Go ahead.
The more we think about it, and Mayor, what you said was the pictures and things that we would bring in, whether it has to do with the Veterans Memorial or this beautiful building, oak trees, that's what stands out. And I don't necessarily think the logo needs to compete with all of that. But so again, I go back to that simplicity, and the more I look at that font, I really do like it.
And just so the public knows, this is kind of different than a normal council discussion. Our city attorney reminds us constantly that we actually can't come to a conclusion or vote on this tonight. It has to do with some kind of rules that even we have to follow all of the rules. So this is a unique situation since... Without explaining it more than that, we are kind of offering our own personal opinions. There might be some consensus comes out of that. I'm thinking you can pretty much take number three off the table and go from there, is my guess. But that's why we aren't going to work to try. Normally we try to reach a consensus and find out what pieces we like and try to work with it more ourselves, but we really aren't able to do that in this case. Correct, Mr. City Attorney? Thank you. So are you getting what you need from us? And if you could take a moment just to tell us what you need from us help you with this. Now, we're still going to go to public comment. We want to hear input, and we might have some different opinions after that. But first, tell us all what would help you go to the next phase.
all of the feedback you've given is really helpful. It's just good to know where you're coming from, what you like, what you don't like, and I've made really good notes. If there's anything else that you want to voice, that'd be great. Any input at all?
Very good. Any other council comments before we go to the public? Then we'll come back and have some more opportunity. Well, we would really welcome you from the public. I especially would like to hear from Mr. and Mrs. Holiday Inn Express. They are here, icons of our community. I was going to actually thank our CEO of Chamber of Commerce, Linda Hendy. You've been very involved in this from the beginning and been a good help on helping us in this area and work with all aspects of marketing and promotion. So we would welcome your input as well as anyone's input. So I'm going to open up to the public. Anyone, please come forward and share any thoughts you have. We would welcome them.
Good evening. I'm Rasohi, Holiday, Mr. Holiday Inn Express.
Raise the...
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. I agree with the council. I like one and two. Initially, two was really speaking out to me as far as with the trees and the rolling hills. I like that font as well. And hearing the discussion is for the simplicity and that classic font for Atascadero and images behind it, I see a lot of strength in that as well. So I like one and two a lot. And I think to omit three is a good idea. On a side note, I think I just want to say I'm still a little concerned, I think, with classic Americana. When we initially discussed it, I didn't even know what classic Americana meant. It had to be explained to me, and a lot of my family, and I would say LA and Sacramento and Bay Area, many of them immigrants to this country, a lot of us don't know what classic Americana means also. I think it speaks to a lot of us that live in this area, but people visiting, I think it still may be, takes us back to a time of question of whether or not many of us really are Americans or what that means to a minority group, which is a growing group and who we're really going for also. Again, that being said, that second one with that classic font speaks to me a lot. but I like one, and I like both one and two, and I think the simplicity of one is a good idea.
Thank you. Welcome, Mrs. Holiday Inn Express.
Hello, good evening. I have really tall shoes on. I like the first and the second one quite a bit, but definitely the first one really does speak to me. The detail of the font and then learning that it is actual handwritten script, I think really does speak to what Atascadero is, a lot of handmade, homegrown, great things. So I would definitely go with number one. And then also, like Amr was saying, just in speaking to other people that I know locally and outside of the area with the classic Americana, it does, for a lot of millennials, and I guess I'm a Gen Xer, I'm not really sure, but the classic Americana wasn't really resonating or hitting home. Something that was kind of tossed about was like rustic California, which I think could be an interesting direction to look at. And good
Thank
work,
you.
Burden.
Thank you. Welcome. I could say Mrs. Chamber of Commerce, but...
Good evening, Linda Hendy, Atascadero Chamber of Commerce. I, too, liked the one and two. I always think of Atascadero as even hard to say, and people don't really know how to pronounce it. So number three, right off the bat, I was just thinking they wouldn't have a clue what that Atascadero was or how to say it. When I initially saw number one, it looked too simple on that photograph. So I'm like, oh, darn, that didn't really punch me when I saw that. So I hope, I like how clean it is, but it was a little bit simple for me on the photograph. So I'd like to see how that incorporates into it. I love the font of number two, but I agree that it's too much like Paso. they do everything with the oaks. So we would be kind of copying. So I like the 1 and 2. Either one is good for me.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Like Mrs. T-Bid or anyone else that would like to speak?
I don't know that I get to be called out necessarily as Mrs. T-Bid, but Amanda Diefender for Big Red Marketing. I do work closely with the T-Bid, which is an honor to do so. And have the opportunity to work with a couple different tourism business improvement districts. So it's fun to have gone through this process a few times and come at it with new eyes every time. I kind of have to giggle to myself when we talk about copying Paso Robles or not copying Paso Robles, as that is a destination I also work closely with, particularly because when their tourism group recently underwent their rebrand, they intentionally moved away from the oak tree and moved towards a handwritten font, kind of a handwritten signature Paso Robles. So I laugh because in the intention to stay away from copying, you actually are heading down a very similar path. Not that it's a bad path by any means. It's been a pleasure to work with that logo. Looking at these logos in particular, I think it's always a good question to ask how readable it is. I always take a look at logos, particularly when they're set up like this, and kind of let your eyes fall out of focus so that everything gets blurry, and ask yourself, you know, what one really starts to call to you when your eyes fall out of focus. Like, which one's going to catch your eye when you're not intending to look at the logo? In black and white, I can certainly see the simplicity being a little bit of a concern with the first one, but, you know, I think that's the opportunity to look at how do you integrate color. How do you integrate that brand message of the color that's going to come in with it? The other nice thing with that simplicity is as you start to put it on complicated backgrounds, you're not going to lose it in those complicated backgrounds. The second one, though, I tend to skew towards a more quote-unquote masculine perspective, but I love that font. Like, I think that's a cool, like, cowboy, like, punch-in-the-leather type of a font. And, you know, I look at those two hills and, like, where Visit goes, it almost feels like 41 heading right through Atascadero, which is kind of a very cool feel that, you know, you don't have in other communities, that kind of framed in smaller highway. So those are kind of my thoughts. I think the third one has some interesting concepts to it. You know, the readability I struggle with, but I wonder if you've cleaned up and tightened that font. I do like how framed in that logo is. I think it makes it a very usable logo, so I think you can't really go wrong, though. You've got a great marketing firm looking at that.
Thank you. Any other member of the public wishing to speak? Even if you work at Atascadero News, Paso Robles Press, you'd obviously have some insights. We would welcome input from anyone. And on that note, Mrs. Paso Robles Press.
Hi, I've actually lived in Atascadero since I was 16.
Perfect.
And so I love the top one because it's so fun. It's kind of something I think is the opposite of what I grew up envisioning Atascadero being. Because, you know, when you're a teenager, you're like, my hometown is boring. so I actually really adore that one, so you guys know. But I also really love what she said about that the Highway 41 thing that really kind of opened it up for me on that second one. As far as the third one goes, I actually really like the way that it does that arching thing. It's really different. And I think it sets it apart from the other ones. So, yeah, but I love that top one. I think it's adorable. That's all I have to say.
Well, I've always appreciated adorable. Anyone else like to speak on this item? Anyone that's not being paid to speak on it? Seeing no one approach, I'm going to close public comment, bring it back to council, and let me, of course, now far be it for me to reach any consensus, but so I won't ask for consensus, but does any one council member want anything to be done with number 3? I don't think anybody wants anything to be done with number 3. So down to number 1 and 2. I'll just go ahead and speak first. Could you get those back up there? Because, yeah, and again, I think I assume you're probably going to work with one and two and bring them back to us, or not necessarily. I won't ask you for anything. If you were going to work on number two, I think the things I've heard, I'm kind of with Councilwoman Fonzie. I see two eyebrows, and I see one thing that is of note, but there's a whole lot of other things. And if this was overlaid, it'd be hard to overlay that on any number of pictures. We might even have a collage of great pictures, and then this would kind of not make as much sense. What I like about number one, now that I hear the story, I liked it because it reminded me of E.G. Lewis's original ads. But when you said you, and I like the sense, as was said, that it's personal. It's like script. Somebody did this by hand, which speaks to all of our craftsmanship and early. And what I like is, since you're working for us and we're paying you, we can call this the Atascadero font, and you're going to actually create it, and it'll be unique. So that's really neat, I think. So again, I would really like to see what we could do with one, and especially the fact that it could be, I think it would help us see the value of its simplicity if it was, because often it's going to be overlaying so many great photos we could have of our area, whether it's the zoo, Oak Tree Hills, a bike ride, the Veterans Memorial. It would be that reoccurring theme that would tie all of those elements that we have together. And then if you were going to try to rework number two, as much as I like the oak trees, it's only one aspect of who we are, and I'm not sure what you do with that, but the way it is, you know, could you make it so that Roberta and I didn't think it was two eyebrows, maybe? Or tired wings. Yeah. So anyway, open up to you. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, after the discussion, I kind of like the concept of the overlay. I think that's really kind of important to think about, because I'm sitting here trying to visualize if we had different pictures and this went different places, this would overshadow maybe some of the message that we're trying to put out with different pictures or what have you, whereas the number one has got a little bit more open space to it, and the personal touch to it, I think, is kind of neat. It's different. You know, from the beginning, I've been looking at, let's try to do something different that everybody else doesn't have. So we will sell you the right to use that signature, okay?
Thank you.
I think we already bought it, Bob. But go ahead, Councilman Moreno.
The more we discuss it, I really do like number one. The one aspect to two and three that I like is that visit is smaller. Because while I know we're dealing with the Visit Atascadero logo, we've talked about part of our desire as a city is it's, stay, spend, enjoy. So from that aspect, and so I don't know how to maybe divide that here. Maybe that's a question I have for the rest of the council. In terms of, the one thing that you said, the desired action, I'm looking at the staff report, but you had another piece in your report. But, what do we want? We want visitors to travel, spend, stay, and enjoy Atascadero. So we're back to that, again, all about visitors and not, residents and the local piece of it. So that I do like about those two, that visit isn't so prominent.
Well, and get the white mic warmed up here. What if we just left visit out, which is, I think, something we were just thinking about? Because how can you have classic Americana, which I want to talk about it a little bit separately, but guess what? Visit California is a new thought. Some marketing folks came up with that in the last 10 years. It'll probably go away someday or not. But I think if we focus on just Atascadero, California, you can always work in the word visit when appropriate. It could kind of come and it could go, but what is permanent is Atascadero, California, and it's less trendy in that sense. But speaking about, I think... I think a good point was brought up about classic. I think classic Americana speaks to us, especially some of us older guys. It's not something I think we would want to use with the outside world, because what we want to do is show them what classic Americana is. Show them with pictures, not with words. Because I think what people identify with is those scenes. Those old muscle cars driving down hot El Camino nights that you used to see, but you don't see. You may not know that that's used to be a big thing, but you kind of like it. You know, that you're attracted to those muscle cars with lots of barbecues going on along the street. And I think it's, we tell the story with pictures, and we kind of know what we mean with that, but it's more almost like an internal thing that you wouldn't necessarily talk about. So,
you know, I kind of agree with you. I think if the visit disappeared from the main logo there, that you can direct it when you're having a special event, you know, visit Atascadero for cruise night, visit Atascadero Colony Days, or what have you. And I think, you know, once you come off that main page, hopefully there's going to be links where you can move around. And I think I think it really might look nicer without the visit on it.
Councilwoman Fonzi.
I'm not artistic in the least, so I want you to take this, and if it doesn't balance out and it doesn't look right, put the visit back in. You know, this is your job. You're the experts. We're not. The one thing that I notice, being a bit farsighted when I take my glasses off, the Atascadero, the letters are just a tad too close together. So if they could be spread a little bit, particularly when you get past the S in Atascadero, the C-A-D-E-R-O are a little tighter, and so if we could spread those just a tad. Be more visible, readable.
That's kind of the problem I had when it first came up, is trying to get it separated. So, of course, my brain doesn't operate as fast as it used to, but once I got dialed in. But I think that's a good idea.
No, your brain's working just fine, Bob, because I had the same situation. I'm sitting here looking at it. No, it's because you have to actually stop and you have to look at it, whereas the one in the middle, it just stands out. So, actually, what I'd love to see is the one in the middle. I love that banner, the third one. The reason I like that is because it's so different. And yeah, I agree with what you said about doing something different. And that's the whole, I'm struggling with one and two, because I want to do something different, but I want people to see it and not say, is that a Tuscadero or a Tasca? You know, I already have a hard enough time when I spell it and people can't understand what I'm saying, or when I spell it, they don't understand it. So it's going to be, I think when you're glancing at a distance, I think number one's going to be hard to pick up with your eyes. That's the problem I'm having with it. I like it's clean. I like it being different, but I think it's going to be more difficult to pick up. But I like that banner, and I just was just picturing, what if that Atascadero, California, and that middle font and that middle one was some type of a banner, just something different.
Well, you know what's interesting about that banner, as I looked at it, I go back to the old photos of the Atascadero banner sign that was over El Camino down there by the creek. You know, that's one of the first things that came to my mind when I saw that.
So that might be something that first Atascadero gets that little bit of a curve like the visit instead, and it's Atascadero, California, or something. But I think back to just the font on Atascadero. Yeah. That was my first thought, is I like the A-T-A. I like the D-E-R-O, but that A-S... C-A in the middle. The S is like, is that an S? Yeah, so it's almost like you kind of stumble over that a little bit, and so maybe we, you know, that's not bad grade. You know, all the letters are great, but would you work on that S a little bit?
Am I the only one who is not farsighted and can see this just fine? So once a logo...
Well, you're right, that one looks better over there.
Once a logo's chosen, we clean it up and perfect it. So all these comments are really useful in that process if that one's chosen. And just to clarify, are you talking about creating an arch with the first one?
Number two.
Second one, that's what I thought.
Well, no, I was thinking, I'm focused on number one, so anyway, you work with that, but that's just one person's opinion.
Actually, you can actually drop the trees and you could do the curve on number two, is what I'd be curious about.
That's what I was going to say. It wouldn't probably work with the trees, but...
No.
So is there any other comment from council? And before we go on, because we really made a point of having our audience and council I want to have staff have some input because, yes, Chief Stone, you're darn near a lifetime resident. We've got folks at and Terry, this is your field. And Chief, if anything looks dangerous, you know, tell us now. And if there's something, might be a legal problem. But if staff, I would like to hear staff, even if they just say a one-liner, because we've this whole process we've gone through, we've done this together, so I would like to have staff just weigh in with just an opinion if you would like to share one. So take it away, anybody.
I'll start. I told Terry that it was number one no-brainer. I sent a picture to my wife, and she said it was number two no-brainer. So number two looks really good.
Well, that's why you're the chief. Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, definitely, because we can use it a lot with the different pictures and things that we're trying to bring together. So, but number two is still kind of looks like it could be a good option for us, maybe even adding trees. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Number one, it really works. And I see the pulling apart, because when you look at it on that sign right there versus up there, I can see where the letters are close together. So I do see what you're seeing from this perspective. The other part that I would ask for then is when you put it in a visitatascadero.com on, let's say, just a one-liner on a billboard type of thing, what does that look like? Are we using the script? Or are we just... You know what I mean? On the logo part.
If it's a one-liner?
Yeah.
On a... I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Like if you put on the bottom of a billboard, let's say, visitatascadero.com, would you be using the whole script of visitatascadero.com because you're trying to follow that brand throughout?
The logo would remain intact, and then you'd have visitatascadero.com in its own font determined at the next round.
Gotcha. Okay. Number one.
Number one, gotcha. Continue.
I think they all have elements that are truly Atascadero, and you listened, and I appreciate that tremendously. I do like number one. I saw number one first and appreciate it. I do like the multiple oaks because that brings in that other feel. I think it really is going to depend on, you know, the mood board and making sure that we have the right feel that council wants to portray. So.
Do I get an opinion?
A brief right. opinion, as they say in the legal world.
Okay, this will only take about 45 minutes. I believe that number one, it looks the best for the reasons that have been said. I would leave the word visit there because you want, I think, to invite people to come. Otherwise, it's just kind of a statement of the city and the state. But to go beyond that, I think an invitation is what you get from the word visit. And I would like to see what number one would look like with a little bit of an arc to it to give it a little personality, because right now it's just kind of linear.
Thank you. Moving our way over to this side of the staff.
I believe I like the first one the best also. I agree about an arch in it possibly or something like that. Also, I don't know that anyone else has mentioned it, but I'm not sure that you need California. I would just say visit Atascadero.
We've thought we don't need California for a long time, but that's another topic.
For more than one reason, yeah. I was just looking on my computer while you guys were talking, and I looked at visit a variety of cities just for the heck of it, and about half had California and about half didn't. So it's kind of interesting because I started thinking about that. So I don't know that you need the California. There's probably a good reason to have California, but I'm just thinking maybe you don't need it. Of course, I'm going to say something that might not be popular. I kind of like, if we were going to take number two, maybe put some sort of a dome or something in between all those trees, because I think this building is a landmark for this community. I know that we're not wanting to pick specific things, but not an actual building, but maybe just something that designates that in some way.
Thank you.
I think they're all good. I like number one as well. In the black and white, I think it looks the best. I think the other two they might look better if they had some color added to them. But just the simplicity of the first one I like, and for the other reasons as everybody else stated.
My preference is number two. I also sent a photo to my
wife. Thanks, Chief.
And she chose number two.
And how about our computer graphic arts GSI guru? Go ahead and give us an opinion. Thank you. I think we've Gary and Jerry.
Oh, we thought we were successfully hiding in the audience.
Yeah, the camo didn't work. Any thought you guys would offer while we're catching staff and department heads?
I like number one. I think it's the simplest in design, and it's the easiest to focus on the message rather than get lost in the
Very good. And Jerry, other than adding a dollar sign, do you got any suggestions?
I like the first one as well. And I would also
arch it.
No, I would lose the visit on the top, but maybe add some kind of little scroll or some kind of little
dollar sign. Scroll, okay. Very good. Thank you. Is that sufficient for you to come back with the next round?
Excellent, yes. So just to recap, as far as comments on the first one, we're going to tighten that up and with the spacing.
Loosen it up is the case.
Oh, that's my own term. Yeah. Tighten up means look it over and make sure all the spacing's right. You're right, though, loosen it up. So we're going to look at that and refine that and possibly consider the visit size. It sounds like it's pretty important on there, as well as California. And for the second one, it sounds like the general consensus is we may have eyebrows in there, and we want to take care of that, and that the oak trees may be too much like Paso.
And we're never going to mention number three again?
That's why I didn't say it.
Thank you. Okay. I think we are within our legal bounds, and are we done with that item, or what's next? Next steps. Thank you.
Thank you. Just going to finish up on timeline and next steps so everybody's aware of what we're going to be doing following up. We're going to take all of this really great feedback and make some refinements, and we will be presenting those final logos, and then for our goal to have hopefully approval at the August 11th meeting, at the August 11th City Council meeting, with a color palette. We'll present a color palette, possibly two color palette options, and then tagline recommendations. And then, which I know the City Council has approved, to work with TBID at Saver. And so our goal and hope is to have the brand fully established and approved so we can start working on all the Saver materials so we can really launch the brand at the event. And then, of course, brand implementation. Once the brand's developed, you got to actually put it out there. So that's ongoing, and that would be all part of the marketing effort.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We so appreciate it.
Let's have a hand for the Verdon girls. I know Peggy will say don't use the word girls, but Rochelle, while we're on that note, though, I did want to follow up, I think, by council consensus we do have that we would love to hit that saver target date if possible. So working back from that, I think we want to be on track. Will we be able to vote on something or make whatever decision we need to at the next meeting?
That is the hope. And that in that vein, I just wanted to make sure that they're on the right track with the mood board and some of that, because I know they'll be pulling some of those colors and some of those ideas out of that. And just wanted to know if there was any feedback that you wanted to give them before they did that, because we'd sure love to have something that they already know exactly what you want. They can bring it back to you. You guys can vote on it, and we're good.
Well, if you're talking color, I know Bob and I vote for green. But other than that, is there
well,
any...
And I don't know that we would necessarily be picking colors as much as any feedback. And maybe if you guys could ask the types of things you might want from that.
Please.
So the mood board, though it influences the style, we're not necessarily looking at it for color. We did present another mood board that was previous to this mood board that showed different textures around the city, and we really like those textures because they're actually what you see here, those colors. And it's our intent to present a couple palettes that align with that classic Americana look and feel.
Okay.
Well, so if there's any color that you just think is ridiculous or any thoughts on color, we'd love to hear that.
I would say no pink and no mauve.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the home sweet home.
Well, I'd actually say, I think I'll even not say what I was going to say and let everyone else speak first. So if anyone has an opinion on this collage, now is the time. From council.
I would like the font to actually pop on various backgrounds. So it may need to be black. I don't know. You know, you're going to have to work with this. But if we have a photo behind it, like we had the cars, the classic cars, we were able to read it in spite of that. So I'd like you to take some care with that and make sure that it doesn't just blend in and disappear.
Well, when you make that font and you have different pictures like you do on here, I mean, can you utilize different colors throughout the web page? I mean, your main font would probably be whatever color you select, but I'm looking at some of these pictures and saying, well, black would be great on some, but maybe another color would work, you know, on different pictures. So is that a consideration that you can make, or do you try to stay just to the one color?
Well, what we do is we create a color palette, and so it gives you a primary color scheme and then a secondary colors that supports those colors. And we create a brand guidelines that will show exactly how to use those colors and those logos, and so that there's consistency, because that is the number one branding rule.
Well, I have to say, I actually, other than the Tent City picture, don't like any of these pictures. But that's just me. And the font, you know, it's too busy on most of the pictures that have fonts. If anything, the upper left-hand corner has that, you know, classic Americana-ish. But, of course, I would have used my 56 Ford that my dad bought new at a Tascadero Ford. But other than that, if we were actually using this anywhere else, I'd be concerned that we got two beer pictures and nothing else. But then the upper one, as far as the car shop, that is not anything. I think what I would have for a picture, it's too busy. There's actually some classic photos of car shops in Atascadero, much simpler, but that early 1900s vintage vehicles with, you know, folks working on them, things like that. And but it's kind of like that would be, this didn't help me at all. Yeah, I understand. But if you're kind of drawing on this to get ideas, then I would just let you know, this didn't help me at all with thinking about that. You know, I'm just glad you came with that, and I don't know how you did it, but that's fine.
You know, I like the concept of that picture, because I'm sitting here kind of looking, boy, look at the milk cans, that's kind of neat. The signs are kind of neat. But I think... you can implement something like that, like at our zoo. I think you could come up with a collage of pictures of the different animals that people would look at, which is almost on the same concept as all of this stuff. You want to really stop and take a look at it instead of just going, because there is more than one or two things there.
That's a good point. Other thoughts?
Yes, I was going to say all the pictures on here except for that garage are all very muted. So, you know, my concern would be that whatever the colors we choose, that you're looking at your layouts, it would pop, it would grab your attention to be able to see it. So,
yeah,
that's my concern.
Too muted.
Yeah.
Yes. Councilman Fonzie.
I really like the comments Mrs. Holliday stated about millennials and Generation X and the classic Americana didn't resonate.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the terminology, like she said, it's rustic California, although we are not crazy about the California end of it, I don't think. But maybe we just need to repackage this slightly.
And the classic Americana is really internal. I think somebody said that.
Yeah.
It's, you don't necessarily need to know exactly what it is, but for this process, we have to define it and what that means. But it's more of the feeling of a simpler time, and I think that millennials can really get into that.
They can wish for it just like the rest of us.
That's true.
And we have it. I wasn't sure. Is there anything else you need from us while you've got us?
I think we're good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, again, I'm really pleased with the process you guys have taken us through. We kind of knew what we wanted, but we didn't know how to get there. So thank you. Terry, did you want to take it from here?
I want to take it from here and plan for August 11th to come back and present the logos and with the colors on them and all the ideas that we discussed tonight. So we'll go ahead and plan for that.
Very good.
Thank you. Thanks, Bird and Marketing team.
And I think that concludes our staff reports. We are moving on to council announcements and reports. And I would like to go back to the old style of let's go through any council activities, personal reports first, and then let's go through committee reports separate and second. So first, anyone that has any activities they'd like to report on. Bob, you already did one, but you got some others.
I'd like to comment that they had the grand opening for the new Marriott Hotel.
Thank you.
And it was just a fabulous event that was really well attended by people throughout the community. And, you know, I want to take my hats off to the builders and West Star and what have you. They brought, you know, they rate hotels at 5 stars, but this is 5+. It's just a beautiful hotel. Tom mentioned a little earlier about the setting of it. And the owners, they want to really get involved in the community with special events and what have you. But I would encourage anybody to go up there in the afternoon. They have a nice little lounge up there, and they're serving sandwiches and some tri-tips, and they're going to figure out what kind of menu, and eventually we'll have a restaurant up there. So I want to thank them for coming to town. It was a great addition.
Thank you. Other individual reports? Go ahead.
I would like to congratulate the Chamber on a great job well done with the 20th annual wine festival, Atascadero Wine Festival. My husband and I volunteered, and it was wonderful to see the feedback from the different vendors. So we were kind of liaisons with the vendors, getting things that they needed. And we went and introduced ourselves in our zone. And virtually every single person we talked to just said how much they really enjoyed being at this event. We talked to an artist from Morro Bay who had been here all 20 years and how they just really think it's a top-notch event. And so the Chamber did a great job with that. And there are restaurants there that were selling out of food by about a half hour, 45 minutes before it was even over, and I think making some plans for next year to have more available. So good job. It was a really great event.
Thank you. Other individual reports?
Well, I was just going to say I just wanted to thank everyone and all the hard work that went into the Mayor Winemaker's Dinner. That was outstanding.
Yeah.
It was an excellent dinner, excellent auction. I understand that the funds that night were matched by a nonprofit. I'm trying to remember. I think it's Must.
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 It's
so just an outstanding event. Thank you for all the hard work, and thank you for everyone that supported that.
I was, too, very pleased with the wine festival, and I think that one of the things that made it even more special is it was expanded into 2 days with a very clever way of getting people into their car to go to the wineries and go wine tasting. And so this made a 2-day event, which is actually very helpful from the point of view of TOT. So I think we did this one and hit a home run.
Yes, and as Bob mentioned with the Marriott, their Spring Hills Suite is a category, and talking to the owners, they claim, and I believe, it is the best Spring Hills Suite in the world, they said. And what they mean by that is they put a lot of extra features in that just make it very nice. And we experienced that the other night. I had a wedding at my place at some time the very first weekend they opened, and all the guests stayed there and had an after party and did nothing but rave about the good service, and it was a good time had by all. And I did also appreciate the we had our mayor's winemaker dinner. The Kiwanis has really put the work on for years now, and of course it's raised funds for the Centennial Bandstand in the past, so many things. This year, well over $40,000 was raised to basically implement a boys and girls club in Atascadero. It'll be an after school program, so that was a nice event. I did want to mention again, it's a fun privilege I have now and then as mayor. You get to marry people in your own city. And I think I've done more weddings than any other mayor in the county at the moment. But it's usually each one has a story. The first wedding I did, I kind of talked myself into it when I met this young couple who just happened to be cruising through Atascadero. They stopped in Sunken Gardens after it was rebuilt. He proposed in front of our fountain. The first year it was in our centennial year, and then they went over and had lunch at Sylvester's. Well, how could the mayor not marry them? This last weekend, I performed another wedding because it was just so darn cute. Local couple, their first date was at Galaxy Theaters here in town. They've been back to Galaxy Theaters. They go every week for the last 2 years. And they got married. When I told Frank Rimkus, the owner of Galaxy Theaters, this story, of course he handed me a pile of passes to Galaxy Theater, and I presented that to them, a young couple that they've had a tough life, and they really appreciated that. But, you know, I think we've got the most romantic city in the world. Why not? So it's a fun...
Well, Tom, I think you're right. I'm getting ready to celebrate my 35th wedding anniversary, all here in Atascadero.
You know, and I just had my 39th wedding anniversary, actually the same day I was performing a wedding, we were working, but it's a great place to renew vows, have a wedding. Look forward to that.
To be clear, that will not be our tagline.
Yeah, no, yeah. We'll do something with that. Okay, we're going to go back through with council committee reports, and then we can adjourn. So we'll go ahead and let's just start from my left. We'll work on through. Bob?
No report.
Heather?
Just quickly, at EVC they were talking about a website called 805 Connect, and it is akin to LinkedIn, but it's much more significant, and it's a place for businesses along the Central Coast to find and connect with one another. And so, and it's free to use. Recommend checking that out, 805connect.com.
Thank you. One thing that has come up, a little bit of a surprise to us through the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, we got word that, I know this is going to be hard to believe, the state has found another way to take away local money. And it's hard to believe, but with the gas tax money, which most of us think is sacred to go to roads, we all get a portion. The state has decided that they need to keep that and redirect funds that used to have local discretion and redirect it to road maintenance statewide. This is funds that every city in the state has used in the past to do major projects. And we all have a prioritized list of things we would like to do. And it's kind of put that on hold. It hasn't changed our priorities at a local level, but it does create some confusion. Now, of course, the state says there's a solution. We all could go support their efforts to tax more for roads, and then we could have a piece of the new money. And we're thinking, well, we'd like to have the money we fought for originally. So this is going to be something that League of California Cities and, of course, our council, Debbie Arnold, chair of the county supervisors, and our SLOCOG chair, we're all going to be fighting to just keep the money we have and see it spent where taxpayers thought it would be spent. And there's going to be some major hearings at the state level during August and September, and I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of pushback because every city in the state has projects that have been prioritized through a public process over years, and to interfere with that just makes no sense. But it's too early to know what will actually happen until we get through these hearings. I have asked Ron DeCarli, the chief executive officer with San Luis Council of Governments, to come and give us a report in August, maybe put it off till September, and we'll kind of see what that means. But every city is disappointed, to say the least. It doesn't change what we're doing. It slows down what we're doing in worst case scenario. But our hope is that, you know, the legislature will hear from all of us statewide. And we do have a couple of League of California Cities meetings coming up. Some of us will be going to, and I think it's something we'll continue to fight for. Councilwoman Fonzie.
You sure they're not trying to take that money for that high-speed rail? Just a thought.
Yeah, that's a thought.
Okay, no report. Everybody's pretty well adjourned for the summer.
No reports.
Thank you. Any staff reports? Then we are adjourned. Thank you.